Welcome to From the Stands for the Best Soccer Show. Jason Davis with you on our weekly episode where we take a deeper look at some of the big stories in American soccer. On this week's show, we're talking Jesse Marsch and his big move to RB Leipzig for next season. After a couple years at Red Bull Salzburg, building up his reputation, he now gets a shot at the big club, at the top of the mountain, with RB Leipzig challenging for Bundesliga titles, trying to chase down Bayern Munich, trying to make waves in the UEFA Champions League as well. An American in charge at a big club. Yes, they're only 11 years old in this form, and yes, they have this weird structure, and no, not everybody loves them in Germany, but nevertheless, Jesse Marsch getting this job is a big deal for American soccer. And we will break it all down with Chris Williams. He covers the Bundesliga. He's also an accredited referee and coach. I mean, the man does many different things in the game. He's very smart. And we'll dive into this topic with him in just a couple of moments. Let me take this opportunity to remind you that not only do we have a Patreon where you can help us make the show by contributing a little bit a month, where you also get bonus content. We make extra stuff for you. You get access to our Slack. You get access to our bestie hangouts and everything else. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. But we ask you to give us a rating and a review for the program. Help push us up the charts over there at Apple Podcasts. We got lots of stuff coming up as the U.S. Men's National Team 2021 starts to unfold. There's Nations League coming. There's Gold Cup. And, of course, World Cup qualifying. So give us a rating and a review so people know that we're here doing this thing, covering American soccer, the only way we know how. Now, on the From the Stands episode every single week, we call up Jay Rodius. We interrupt some activity. Sometimes it involves his kids. Sometimes it's just one of his individual passions. Maybe he's out playing some frisbee froth. What do they call that thing again? Well, whatever it is. Let's call up the Rodius and see what he's up to.
Hello.
Is our connection? Does somebody put the little thing in the hole to make the connection? Never mind. Forget I said that. Let's just move forward.
Wow, that's how you make a connection.
That's how I made the 3-month-old child that is sitting right next to me. He's in the studio. He's ready to take on the family business. He won't stop talking. He's ready to go.
Mr. Tiago.
If Mr. Tiago is on mic, we'll just have to move forward. Hopefully, he'll get his chance to say his piece later. So first of all, what are you doing? How are you doing? What are you in the middle of?
I'm watching a documentary called The Phenomenon about UFOs.
Oh, UFOology. Or is it ufology?
It's amazing how much of my time these days is filled with UFO interest and true crime. I'm becoming maybe a conspiracy theorist on that, but I think I'm an intelligent one where I just don't believe stuff randomly. But mark my words, the next 2 months are going to be big for UFO disclosure. Be ready.
I'm looking forward to all the UFO disclosure. Totally on board with that. Gonna be great.
Okay, mark this date. We'll have to come back and talk about this in 2 months.
We intended on this show or on this call to talk about Jesse Marsch going to Leipzig, which we did address on the Sunday show. But this is the focus of the From the Stands when we talk to Chris Williams. However, some big news is happening or just happened before we got on this call that we can't.
Guy Fieri's buying into MLS.
Yeah, you know what? People might think that's a joke. No, apparently. Okay, this is wild.
Fieri.
Greta Van Susteren tweeted out some indication that Guy Fieri, among other people, including E40, Oakland hip-hop legend E40, are buying into Sacramento.
By the way, it's Fieri.
I know
Fieri.
It's Fieri. Fieri. I know. If you say it properly in the Italian, it's Fieri or whatever. Fieri and not Fieri. But come on. The guy goes to dine-ins, drivers, and dives. Those people say Fieri. Guy Fieri.
FC stands for Flavor Town Chef.
Somebody said Sacramento Republic is a great name for a club. It's too bad that they're going to have to change it to Flavor Town FC when Guy gets involved.
Dude, there's going to be flames on the jerseys. Think about this.
Oh man, so much donkey sauce in the stadium. It's going to be amazing. The real news that we will certainly talk about a lot on Sunday, but we have to mention here, is that Christian Pulisic has booked his place in the Champions League final. And I mean, like, literally, he helped it happen. Now, they already had a goal when he entered the game. But he set up Mason Mount for the second that iced that thing. And the guy is, you know, whether he's cool off the field, I don't know. He's cool on the field, Jared.
He scored two out of three goals that secured this win in the semifinals.
And involved, should have had a third. Involved in two out of three goals, yes.
Yeah, and, he should have had another assist, too, if Werner wasn't terrible. But how come we're not talking about the fact Zach Steffen secured his spot? Is it just not the same thing? It's not the same thing.
No, and look, I like Zach Steffen. I do think there's this question American soccer fans have about whether he should just be anointed the number one. I think you're on that bandwagon, right? Like, let's see a little
competition. I just mean more like if you're American, you're rooting for Pulisic in this, aren't you? You're not rooting for Zach Steffen. Like, it's just like, are you rooting for the backup keeper to be the if you want to win America, if you want to be the first American, you want a first American to win a Champions League, you want it to be the outfield player. You don't want it to be the backup keeper and have an asterisk next to it, right?
Yes, 100%. And I think this would be, you know, look, he's not going to go on to win the Ballon d'Or or anything, but I do think that this is sort of, you know, redemption on some level for Pulisic. First of all, because there were people at the beginning when he made the move from Dortmund to Chelsea who said, oh, he's there to sell shirts. He's just an American guy. They want to make inroads in the American market, get more American Chelsea fans. Didn't think he was good enough. He's proven them wrong. Now he's, again, setting goals up to get to a Champions League final. And there was the question of whether Tuchel really valued him. And yeah, he was on the bench today to start the game, but you could see why, because the second he stepped on the field, Toni Kroos about took the man out. Like, it was, they were trying to knock him off his game, and he kept his head enough to be a factor. And maybe over 65 or 70 minutes, he doesn't have that impact.
I think another reason why you play in this game is that a 0-0 result secures it, you know? So I think they were content to take less chances going forward. And I think Kai Havertz and Ziyech, they help with more ball control. They're going to withdraw off that forward line more. I think with Pulisic in the game, you're going to have he and Werner's pushing a lot more, which is going to open up space behind them. And I think in a game where you really wanted to make sure that you stayed in it the entire time, and if it ends 0-0, that's fine. I think you wanted a little bit more of a composed defend from the front mentality, which Pulisic is not necessarily going to give you as much of.
No, that's probably fair. I do think, you know, starting Timo Werner and having Werner get a goal in the most, you know, Werner way possible was certainly interesting. I mean, there's no way he misses that. But I guess good for him after all the criticism that Werner has taken. We're not here to talk about Chelsea.
I do have a question though. That's regarding your actual topic for the show today. If you're Jesse Marsh and you're now starting next season at Leipzig,
look, if I'm Jesse Marsh, I'm a great dresser, first of all. Credit to the man for being a snappy dresser. Yeah, go ahead. What else?
For sure. You can't go to the European stage and wear like a mock turtleneck or something. I'd rather be caught dead in the turtleneck. I'm saying if you're Jesse Marsh, the transfer window's open. You're going to set the stage for your team and how you're going to play. Who's the one American that you're signing if you're Jesse Marsh?
Ooh, that's interesting. Now, I do think this is a fascinating topic.
Do we take Brendan Aaronson off the table? Do we take Brendan Aaronson off the table? Is that too easy?
Because he's already in the pipeline, right?
He's in the pipeline. He has a relationship with him.
If I'm Jesse Marsh and I can get one American, any American player, including Pulisic.
And he has Tyler Adams already. Obviously, we're not counting that. Just like what? I think we should live in reality. I don't know that Pulisic is going to be going there. Let's live in reality a little bit. Who's the guy that you can get and that will actually help? And that's Jesse Marsh's style. But it's enough to like Americans be like, yeah, we got another one over there.
I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's likely either because that just, it doesn't flow that direction. But Gio Reyna would be that guy, right?
Is that set down for Gio though, to go from Dortmund to Leipzig?
Not the way that the Bundesliga is currently constructed. It's not. Because Leipzig's the team that's in second place. They're the team that looks like they're going to be mounting another challenge next year. Whereas Dortmund, while still solid, and if they hold on to Haaland, obviously they look better for next season, or at least for the first half of the season. They're not quite there. Look, maybe Marco Rosa is the guy. Maybe he fixes Dortmund, and then they're challenging for a Bundesliga title again. But I just think that they've taken a step back, and it's Leipzig that looks like the team.
I think it's more like, isn't that too lateral for Gio? If Gio's going to make a move, don't you want it to be a legitimate, like, larger step?
Okay, so you're asking me which American can Jesse call up from the minors? That's what you're asking me here.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's something to that. I mean, there's like someone like, is it Connor De La Fuente who's going to be leaving Barcelona? Is that a player he targets or something like that? That's a project player, though.
Yes.
Is it Caden Clark?
Yeah.
Is it Caden Clark, maybe?
We think Caden Clark's going anyway, whether Jesse wants him or not.
Yeah, we think so, yeah.
Right, but that's not clear. And he's obviously doing work for the Red Bulls, who maybe aren't where they want to be. I mean, right now you want.
Does he make a move for a Josh Sargent? That's a bigger move and better team for Josh Sargent.
No, there. Well, I think everybody expects that if Red Bull or if Leipzig makes a move for a striker that can help them score goals, then it's going to be a guy that Jesse Marsch already knows very well from his time at Salzburg in what's his name? I'm blanking on the striker.
Let me throw out a name that came to mind. Here's a name that I kind of whittled it down to. Mm-hmm. Matt Miazga's Chelsea experience ends at the end of the season. Therefore, his loan will end at the end of the season. Former Red Bull player. Uh-huh. Maybe Matt Miazga's the guy he brings in to try to help out somewhere in the defense.
This is such a weird. That's such a weird call. Again, I hate to do this to you. You get mad when I bring you talked about reality, and you get mad when I bring reality to the table. They've already secured signings for next season at center back. Two of them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I'm not saying Matt Miazga is going to start. God, right. He can't make the jump from Belgium to there. But as a guy, that's a project, someone that you bring in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My brain is so fixated on the younger players when it comes to Americans that I want to see grow. I mean, hey, what about Tim Weah? Tim Weah, I mean, Lille might win a championship in France, yeah, and there'll be a Champions League team next year, but I would argue that Leipzig's a step up from Lille, right?
Yeah, well, does Weah want to be the first guy off the bench for a championship French team, or does he want to be a contributor on a potential Bundesliga side, you know, like potential Bundesliga winning side? That's a decent shout. That's a decent shout. That's a good one. I like that.
By the way, the striker I was talking about is Patson Daka. He's at Salzburg with Jesse Marsch right now. 24 goals in 24 appearances. I mean, the man is dumping them in Austria. I mean, I don't know if he keeps that up in the Bundesliga, obviously, but it is a shout that and the pipeline is there.
The real answer is Brendan Aaronson, and we all know it. But we'll just see if that's another. If how many times can they pick from that same tree?
As many times as they want to. It's their tree. It's in their backyard.
I know. And that's what belongs to them. And that's how I think it must suck to be a Red Bulls fan in the U.S. It must suck because it's just like you're at the bottom end of this pipeline that just takes your talent and says, and we're not even really going to pay you that much back for it. You know, it's an unfortunate thing.
Well, I mean, I think that's the situation with Caden Clark that it's going to be very much like Tyler Adams. He's going to make a move. They'll get, you know, $3 million for him. Everybody will say, well, why didn't you get six? And they'll just move on. And that'll just be the way of things. The last thing here on Jesse and sort of just how his move, you know, what his move means. He's got to win, right? There's pressure here. I don't want to hate on Bob Bradley because I think he was in a very difficult situation at a club nowhere near resource-wise what Leipzig is. But Marsch has got to like keep them in contention for a Bundesliga title most of the year. And if he misses, he can only just miss, right? He can only come a whisper away from beating Bayern Munich. That's a lot. What happens if he doesn't?
I think Bob Bradley actually had more pressure. I think Bob Bradley had more pressure. I think being the first American in the Premier League, and we can say what we want about the Bundesliga, it doesn't have the media, the vitriol, the all the issues that a person gets skewered for in the media in the English Premier League that Bundesliga, while it has plenty of media, it's not the same way in Germany as it is in England. And I think being the first guy, and he was taking over a club that we knew was going to suck anyway. Everyone knew Cardiff was going to suck. They didn't have world beaters on that team.
You get your Welsh clubs mixed up.
I'm sorry, my Welsh clubs mixed up right there. I don't think that I think he had more pressure. I think Jesse has a better team. I think it's not going to be as hard for him to get results because it's a team that spends money on good product and plays a good style already. He's taking over a much more oiled machine than what Bob Bradley was given in Wales.
That's fair. That's fair. I think maybe the pressure to because he was the first makes sense for Bob. But yeah, man, in that environment, though, and look, if you don't beat Bayern Munich, nobody says, oh, my God, you didn't beat Bayern Munich. They just go, crap, we got to try again. Now, we'll see. Yeah, we got to see. Now, all right. So Mr. Thiago is getting, you know, what babies do. He's doing what babies do. So I'm going to let you
go. He didn't like my take.
Well, I'm not sure he's into UFOs. I think that's the problem. So I'm going to let you go back to your
UFOs. They're scary, but those eyes are big. I understand. The eyes are big.
Yeah, that's what it is. The big eyes. We'll talk to Chris Williams about all those things with Jesse Marsh. Thank you, brother. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Welcome to From the Stands for the Best Soccer Show. Jason Davis with you, and I'm joined by Chris Williams, whose CV is incredibly intimidating to me. Sports, policy, finance, assurance, freelance football journalist, accredited Bundesliga and UEFA correspondent, and a referee and a coach. You got your badges, and you can ref. Chris, you can do everything.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, it sounds like I can do a lot. Can I? I don't know. You'd have to ask the people whose games are referee. But yeah, qualified as a referee first. This was 2003. And then a coach in 2005. And I've been writing since, professionally, writing since 2014.
Well, there you go. So we're talking about coaching specifically today. We brought Chris by. You heard the mention of the Bundesliga to talk about Jesse Marsh and the move to RB Leipzig from Red Bull Salzburg, certainly within the family, the Red Bull global program of football, Chris. And look, it's big news here on this side of the Atlantic because he's American and because we've never placed an American manager at a club that's, you know, in the Champions League picture, maybe possibly challenging for a Bundesliga title. How is it, you know, how is it being received elsewhere on the continent?
So he's a massive name, Jesse Marsh. I think if you look at some people maybe in the UK, I think the UK can be quite football snobby. If you look outside of the UK, he is quite a well-known name. And it's seen as a big move for certainly for Leipzig. They're taking, is it a risk? We're not 100% sure from that angle yet. But I mean, Jesse Marsh comes to RB Leipzig with a full background. He's a full company man. So obviously you guys will know he's done his time at New York Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. He's been at Leipzig before as an assistant manager. And then he's gone on to Salzburg, where he's been hugely successful. Now the chance, or the task for him, is to come over to Bundesliga, do everything that we've seen, and try and challenge Bayern, which is going to be a big task for him. But If you look at what Salzburg have done in the UEFA Champions League, they've done quite well, and they've always made themselves very proud. And you know, who can forget that magical night at Anfield? I was lucky enough to be reporting on that game from Anfield that night, where Salzburg almost upset Liverpool at Anfield.
The thing that for me, Chris, is that, you know, look, as an American, I admit my bias here. I want Jesse Marsh to succeed, and I've been lucky enough to talk to the man, and I always come away incredibly impressed by him. But I also don't want to let that bias make me believe that, you know, he's the next coming of Pep Guardiola or something. Where do you think he fits in terms of his experience? His tactical nous, the way that he's handled himself sort of in the hierarchy of up and coming managers. I mean, strip away his American background, obviously, for this purpose. How does he fit among, you know, the managers in Europe who are respected on those levels?
So, yeah, it's a really good question. So I think he's very well respected on the continent. It's a big step up. The Austrian Bundesliga is not as high a quality as the German Bundesliga will be. So that will be a test for him. But certainly the way he plays football, or the way he likes football to be played by his teams, his philosophy will suit RB Leipzig to a T. You know, they're not daft. He's come through that process. It's a similar style of football that is played throughout the whole of the Red Bull Empire. It's attractive. It's very fascinating to watch. It's quick, and there's a high transition, the way the ball's turned over very quickly. But what Jesse Marsh will do is he will bring all that experience to a Leipzig side, which have been a little different as a brand under Julian Nagelsmann. And I expect a couple of changes. I'd expect Leipzig to look a little bit more like they did under Ralf Hasenhüttl before Ralf Rangnick took charge very quickly before he handed it over to Julian Nagelsmann. So I think they will play fast football, which I think is a Leipzig brand, which we've seen under Nagelsmann, but he's also tried to play a different way in Europe. I don't think Jesse Marsh will do that. I think he's got a lot of ways of playing, but the way he likes to play and the Red Bull style of football is fast, quick transition, playing in those half spaces, getting the ball forward and defending from the front. And that's what they'll do. And it should bring a nice, exciting element back to the Bundesliga.
I think there are some interesting competing narratives here. Obviously, of the Leipzig corporate bad guy in German football narrative, you have Jesse Marsch, who certainly, as an American, an interesting story, working his way through the steps in the Red Bull path. Is there, when you talk about the way Leipzig wants to compete in the Bundesliga, ambition, obviously money behind the program, they still lose out on players who have been Kano going to Bayern Munich. Obviously, Nagelsmann going to Bayern Munich is also part of that dynamic. What is on Jesse Marsch's shoulders pressure-wise in this situation?
Yeah, so I think he will be expected to deliver immediately. And by deliver immediately, I mean a challenge for the Bundesliga title, a little like Leipzig had done for the last couple of seasons. But I think what he'll have to do is he'll have to try and work where others have failed. So Ralf Hasenhüttl in his first full season got them to second place, but they ran out of steam. Last season, Julian Nagelsmann had them playing some brilliant football, but they drew far too many games. They picked up 12 draws in total that season. And this season, when it looked like they could really go and win the league, they almost not just ran out of steam physically, but mentally as well. They didn't look like they could take that final step. For instance, that game or the two games against Liverpool in the Champions League, they weren't as aggressive as you would see. I think they played within themselves. They gave far too much respect out. And we've seen that a couple of times in the Bundesliga this season. So he will be expected to challenge. Now, everybody thought Jesse Marsch would come in straight away as soon as Julian Nagelsmann was mentioned. Bayern, everybody said, yep, it'll be Jesse Marsch. He'll go from Salzburg to Leipzig. It's a done deal. But it wasn't. The club tested out a few other names, most notably Oliver Glasner from Wolfsburg, and it was changed late notice. And I think that's probably been Jesse Marsch earned that right to do that. But the fact that they were looking around as well suggests that they're looking for an immediate bounce back. They don't want another season of a transition. Maybe we can challenge Bayern the next season or the season after. They want to do it now. I think they had a really good chance of going far in the Champions League. They had an even better chance last year when it went down to one leg knockout phase. They missed out in the end on that. It could have been an all German final. Should have been, maybe. But he'll be expected to deliver. I don't think he will get the type of cushion that Nagelsmann has got. So for those instances, those two games against Liverpool, I think tactically he was quite naive, played to Liverpool's strength at a time when Liverpool were in a real poor run of form. I think had they pressed Liverpool and gone at them and got an early goal, I think Liverpool would have been on the back foot and they possibly could have beaten them over two legs. But Nagelsmann didn't, and that was the cushion that he was given at Leipzig. He was able to develop as a coach, to make mistakes. He won't be given that at Bayern, and I'm not sure whether Jesse Marsch will be given as much room to maybe not hit the heights required that Nagelsmann was.
Give me a sense, Chris, of again, I sort of think we have a cursory understanding of it. Obviously, Bayern Munich dominates on this level, but financially, with the corporate backing of Red Bull, where does RB Leipzig sit in sort of the pecking order? Because they've brought in a couple of players. They're going to replace their center backs or add to their center back depth. They sold Timo Werner. They lose a player like Upamecano because it's Bayern Munich. But what's their power like in the dynamic of Germany?
Yeah, so although they are technically the second best team in Germany at the moment, and they have been for really a couple of seasons, their pull and ability to sign maybe the best players isn't as up there as Dortmund, maybe as much as Gladbach. They're not on that level yet, certainly not on the level with Bayern. Financially, if financial fair play is relaxed a little bit more than currently it is, and we're hearing it will be relaxed, I think Red Bull will become a big backer. At the moment, they don't, because they like to do it the correct way. They're not a PSG or they're not a Manchester City. They don't just pump in unlimited funds. The club has to be self-sustainable. And that has allowed them to develop a recruitment model where they take very good potentials from France, from the continent of Africa, from also lower league teams across Europe, and they coach them into big stars that go for big money, which Upamecano is one, Naby Keita is another. Although Sadio Mane didn't go to Leipzig, he came from that sort of same academy setup at Salzburg. So these are people who can spot players and coach them to a high level. That's what he'll be given. He won't be given unlimited funds. He won't have the same funds that Bayern do, a team that have been in the latter stages of the Champions League since its inception. So I've got all the financial wherewithal and the financial muscle that comes with. So they are playing an uphill battle, but they do have, off the pitch, they do have some of the best facilities in Germany. The training centre at Kotterweg, they can link into the medical facilities over in Austria as part of the Red Bull setup. So outside of transfer and wages, they've got one of the best setups in Germany.
Their place, their location geographically in Germany, obviously, look, they've over the last decade, they've established themselves as a player in the Bundesliga. But how does that affect them? How does Leipzig's place, sort of Eastern Germany, how does that play in German football, which was, you know, predominantly a Western game because of the Iron Curtain, because of communism?
Yeah, so when the country was reunified, obviously football was reunified, but the stronger teams at that particular time were the Western sides, and there were a couple of Eastern sides or old Eastern German sides. They've now sort of fallen into obscurity. You may not have heard of them, but Leipzig's a big football city. There's a lot Leipzig, Chemie Leipzig, and RB Leipzig are born from a license that was bought from a side called SSV Markenstadt, and Red Bull bought the license to play in the league off them. And that's how they came a club, and they've gone up through the smaller tiers very quickly, albeit due to the backing and their ability to attract players and pay good wages in the lower leagues as sort of push their drive up to the table. But yeah, they're an old Eastern German side, if you want to call that, although they're only 11 years old. But yeah, they're on the east side of Germany, beautiful city, different sort of approach to life, different sort of outlook than the very western side, like Gladbach, who is very close to the Dutch border. So there is a bit of a difference in the way that teams are supported, approached. It's like two different countries, even though they've been unified for quite a while.
You know, I've asked this question of other journalists who cover German football, and it always causes a bit of a pause. I imagine it might be the same thing for you, Chris. I mean, look, Bayern Munich, because of the way football works in Europe, it doesn't stand out. I mean, for Americans, it's still odd. Oh, Bayern Munich is so much better than everyone else. They dominate financially. It's their league to lose most seasons. Would it be good for German football, particularly because of Leipzig's provenance as a club, because they're backed by Red Bull, because they, for most people, have done this in run around 50+1. Would it be good for Leipzig to win the Bundesliga title and upend Bayern Munich dominance?
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised it's been a pause. So for me, I think it would be good to see Leipzig win the league. I think it would be good to see somebody different than Bayern win the league. I've got nothing against Bayern. I enjoy covering them. I enjoy watching them. But the competitiveness of the league, if you take Bayern out, it would be one of the strongest in the whole of Europe. So it would be nice. I'm sure the DFL, the Deutsche Fußballliga, the German professional football league, as you like it, the company behind the first two leagues, I'm sure they would love a new winner, because when you're trying to sell international rights and trying to sell a league as what it is, football as it's meant to be, in inverted commas, as football as it's meant to be, the same club winning the title 8-9 times in a row, probably not. It needs another winner. You're quite right. It is Bayern's to lose. It has been theirs to lose for the last couple of seasons. Teams haven't really stood up to it. Should Leipzig win it, it will open up a real interest and some questions in Germany, as you alluded to there. They're not a well-liked side predominantly for the way that they've got a non-traditionalist way. German football is very community-driven, so these clubs are hundreds of years old. Even those that do have a big name backing, Bayer Leverkusen, they are workers' clubs. They were set up by the workers of the Bayer Pharmaceutical Company in 1904. It wasn't set up by some of the founding members of Red Bull as a marketing brand, which, you know, you can argue that the Red Bull sport empire is Formula One teams, the rally, the X Games, the guy that jumps from the edge of the atmosphere in space. It's all to market the club, to market the brand, and the club falls. I'd like to see a new winner in the Bundesliga. If it's RB Leipzig, it's RB Leipzig. They're not going anywhere. I'm sure there's many people in Germany that would like to see them disappear as quickly as they came, but that's not happening. There'll always be a group of people who will be against them. I am indifferent. I don't agree with the way they've circumvented 50+1, but I don't believe that they're killing football. Had they come into football and done what we've seen some other sides in Europe do, so had they come in and hoovered up everybody in the local area, had they paid 10 times the amount that you've seen for transfers before, I'd have a problem with it. But their overarching way that they've approached football has been one to watch and nice to see. Now, there's elements within the Red Bull brand itself, the company representatives that have said a few iffy things, and I've got a few political views that some people aren't aligned to, and that's where the controversy comes in. But on a few pure footballing term, I think it would be good for someone to win the Bundesliga else apart from Bayern.
And so an American taking over there, and you know, as you already said, Chris, I mean, this is a coach who came through the Red Bull system. He had one other senior job in Montreal before he arrived at New York Red Bulls, and he's taken his chance to navigate the pathway opened up to him by Red Bull. And there is certainly a question over here with Jesse Marsh getting that job as to whether or not this will open other doors for American managers. It should be noted that Pellegrino Matarazzo is at Stuttgart and has done very well. And while he is American, we can maybe talk about his football education and where that comes from if you want to draw a line between them. Do you believe, especially in Germany, because it does seem to be more open to American soccer than a lot of the major powers in Europe, do you think there's a chance that other American coaches might find some opportunities in Germany following Jesse Marsch?
Yeah, I do. I think the good thing about the Bundesliga is if you're good enough, you get the opportunity. So if you're a player or a coach, the Germans will always like to look for, they'll always like to look in-house first. So they will always look to recruit from within. So if one of the other sides that's on the same sort of footing, let's take Gladbach, for instance, apart from this season, which has been very strange for coach turnarounds, if Gladbach were to lose their head coach, they would look inwards to replace him. So someone from the academy or someone from the under-23s or the reserve side would look to step up and be given that opportunity. But the Bundesliga gives its chance not just to coaches, but to players. I'm sure you're aware that there's a heck of a lot of American national players that are playing not just in the Bundesliga, but Zweite Bundesliga, the second league, Dry League, the third league, in the Regionales as well. And there's a lot of Americans playing football in Germany. And it's pretty much the same if you look at other places. They take a lot of English or British youth players. They get given the chance. There's a lot of players who've chosen Germany overstaying at Premier League teams because they know they're going to get guaranteed minutes. So I think that's what the Bundesliga does. I sat with a colleague of mine a while ago, about a year ago, and he just interviewed the CEO, Christian Seifert, who put the North American market as the next one for the Bundesliga to crack. He really wants to get a big North American following for the Bundesliga. I think you can see that with sides like Eintracht Frankfurt and Bayern Munich opening offices in the dedicated offices in the US. And there's a good footprint on the ground with the coverage, ESPN's coverage. You know, you get far more games than I do in the UK. I've got an ESPN subscription, so I'm able to watch those matches. But it's a target market. So, yes, if the DFL and German football are looking at the US as the next big thing, then, of course, you're going to see more players and coaches make their way. And should Jesse Marsch make a success of it, which I think he will do, I think, it could be the path. And you quite rightly I've mentioned Stuttgart's boss there, Pellegrino Matarazzo, who's had a tremendous season. And of course, there's been other American associated coaches. David Wagner, of course, coached at Schalke for a bit. Probably not the best example, but he is still a good coach. But yeah, it could open the door. The guys who come through early, like Josh Sargent, etc., you know, they've allowed other players to come through. You've seen the likes of Giovanni Reyna, etc. It's an exciting time for Americans in the Bundesliga, and of course North Americans as well, because can't forget Alfonso Davies.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'll finish with this, Chris, sort of, you know, to the side of these conversations, but certainly pertinent right now in world football. You know, you and I are talking right after Manchester City booked their place in the Champions League final. Obviously, Man City was involved in the aborted Super League plan. PSG was not, but I'm not sure that that was some sort of moral stand necessarily. The German sides were also not. Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, those two teams, maybe Leipzig, you would think would at least be considered as part of the scheme. Can you speak to the response to the Super League plan within Germany and maybe for in a remedial kind of way, outline why they weren't involved?
Yeah, sure. So the German sides that were approached, or they said they weren't approached, or who were linked to, was Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. So they turned it down because they would have known they have to get it past their members. Manchester United and Liverpool, who are obviously American-owned, they can just make their own decisions. Whereas in Germany, you've got this 50-plus-1 element. So the majority of the ownership lies with its members. And those members are normally fans. And that's 50-plus-1 extra share, 50-plus-1. And those members wouldn't have stuck to that. Football is a historical game in Europe. So it's bound by history. And to just create a new league from scratch and for it to be closed and for it to be invite only, which is what the Super League would have been, apart from they would have let in five other teams. I won't get into how that would have happened because they would have had to leave UEFA for competition. That wouldn't have been allowed. So they were looking to do a full breakaway. I know they said it wouldn't have impacted the domestic leagues, but I think we all know it would have eventually. It would have led to a closing of the football pyramid. And it was not liked. German fans are German members. So German members of the club are always letting their voices be known. They're not particularly happy with the Champions League reform and the Swiss model. That may change now. The 12 teams or 10 teams have come back into the fold. So it was never going to get through. And that's the big thing that Germany has. And that's why England's looking to Germany for maybe a bit of a model to follow. So Borussia Dortmund have got 140,000 members thereabouts. They've all got a voting right. RB Leipzig, which is why they're controversial, do have 50-plus-1, but their members are normally high-paid, high players in the Red Bull Empire. They've got about 16 or 18 members. So you can see where perhaps they're not liked because of the circumventing of this history and tradition. So it would never have got past Borussia Dortmund or Bayern if they would have said, yes, we're going in. You know, the protests would have been a lot worse than what we've seen at Old Trafford, I would suspect.
Chris Williams with us here on From the Stands. Excellent insight into Jesse Marsh's move and German football as it stands right now. Chris, thank you very much for coming by. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, no probs anytime.
That's going to do it for From the Stands from the Best Soccer Show. I want to thank Chris Williams for coming by and giving us his perspective on Jesse Marsh and the move to RB Leipzig. As always, thanks to the Rhodius, he interrupted his UFO documentary. It can't be a documentary about UFOs documentary. I'm not sure the two things go together. Maybe some of you out there are into the UFOs. Maybe you're into Bigfoot and Sasquatch and those are the same thing. All right, let me get this all worked out. I want to thank Jay Rhodius for being on the program. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.